Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, we'd like to thank you for tuning in to the World Boxing Review Radio Show. My name is Aaron. We travel the world for past, present, and future stars. And taking us on that whirlwind, or we might have to say on a sleigh ride instead of on a carpet ride because it's getting hammered with snow in Pennsylvania. But our radio aficionado, Bob Murray, welcome into the show.
Hey, Aaron, good morning. Yes, indeed, we're kind of in between storms. Sounds like one's coming tomorrow, but man, we had a nice 20 inches earlier this week. So we're getting dug out. But it's February. And lately, you know, February is that month that turns into winter. So we're getting a little taste of the season as it stands now. But there's still some good stuff happening in the boxing world. We have a few things to get to today. So we're looking forward to that. Plus, it's also Super Bowl weekend. And, you know, we just want to once again mention about the general manager for the Kansas City Chiefs. We congratulated him last year as they look to go now back-to-back. Brett Veach, who was a major player here of co-region football, man. He went to Mount Carmel. He was the state player of the year back in 1996. Got in touch there with Andy Reid after he graduated from the University of Delaware with a blue hand. And here he is looking to go back-to-back in the Super Bowls, man. You know, so a little co-region football, man, tomorrow when you watch that big game.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Hey, look, anytime it's a Super Bowl, it's a big game. But however, Bob, this is, like you said, the month of February, and it's Black History Month, and we want to wish everyone a happy Black History Month. And, you know, we try to do our best. We do to keep people updated about our different people who are made their mark of greatness to be noted in Black History Month. And one of them is Jack Johnson, the first African-American heavyweight champion. And we got the exhibit, and Muhammad Ali, who's training camps right in Schuylkill County, Bob, and it's now the fighter Haven. I say Haven, but it's Heaven. But I say Haven. They're in Schuylkill County, and it's a jewel. And we're bringing that exhibit, Bob. We are, and we'll be taking our show live from the theater in Pottsville out there, Bob. And it's going to be a mark that's second to none when we do this this time.
Right.
And we're going to hand out some food with Terry.
Right. It'll be the end of the month, the 27th, and, yeah, coming up in 4 weeks. And you're right, yeah, it's going to be a big thing. Sovereign Theater downtown will be you'll have the exhibit. You're going to have some other speakers, and we'll have a whole day of entertaining. And we'll be talking about that for the next several weeks as far as telling you what's going on. So, yeah, we're looking forward to that. But, yeah, lots of things happening in the month of February.
Yeah, absolutely. The Majestic Theater is something kind of special, Bob. It's a small theater, right? Stage, drop-down screen.
Right.
We'll be shooting the stuff up on the screen, and we're streaming live from there and down Muhammad Ali's old training camp. We'll be down there from 5 to 8, and they'll be open at 3, so people can walk around, take a tour before we get down there and start that. But we say come get a meal. We're going to be handing out meals with the Pottsville Soup Kitchen with Terry Alexander, and the Pottsville basketball team is going to help keep the social distancing and make sure everybody has their temperature checks before entering and asking them questions if they've been out of the country for X amount of days, if they have been around anybody in the last such and such a time that have COVID or tested positive. So, man, Bob, we're trying to use all the safety nets that we can to put on such a great event to help that Pottsville Soup Kitchen get some meals out to the community and to know who they are, the Pottsville Soup Kitchen with Terry Alexander. And also, if they have the time, they have a little extra cash in their pocket, man, they do such a great job with those meals, Terry. And donate a little bit. So, you know, at this time, a lot of people is unemployed and things like that. People need meals. People are hurting, man. And it's a good time to donate to a good organization, man. And Bob, you went to Nativity, right?
Right, yes.
So, you know, the soup kitchen is part of St. Pat. Did you go to St. Pat?
I went to St. Pat's, and I was just going to mention that soup kitchen, man, they've been doing it for many, many years. I'm not sure exactly when they started, but I mean, it was a long time ago when I was in St. Pat's in grade school. But they were there, 504, I believe was the address they call it, the 504 building. That was
right across from the brewery.
Right across from Yingling. Yes, indeed. Yeah, and the old ice cream, actually, Yingling ice cream used to be there. That came back around again, too. But, man, those were the days back then. But, yeah, the soup kitchen's been around. And I'm just happy to be a part of this and help them out because they've done a lot of good. And there's a lot of people out there who are hungry, you know, and it's a lot of families, too, because, you know, you've got a couple extra mouths to feed, you know, young ones, 3, 4 of them, whatever you got, man. It can be rough at this time of year if you don't have your job right now because of COVID and other kind of factors that could play into that. But we're just hoping that people want to come out there. And don't be embarrassed. Don't be afraid to come out. Man, we're all going to be there. Nobody's going to be judging anybody, you know. So if you got to go and get some food, man, don't be afraid to do that, man. Come out and help your family help us out.
Bob, you know, we're just trying to help people get a meal to know who the Pato Soup Kitchen is. So if they serve meals every day. This is a special event there to bring people together to, you know, with all of this politics stuff, man, to ease the climate, man, and bring people together just to have a good time, maybe meet somebody you didn't know before or something like that, have a chance to form relationships, get to know people, and, you know, still keep social distances. You know, we're gonna make sure that. And, boy, that food is good, Bob.
The food is good.
Yeah. Terry puts together some kind of meal, and man, it's good food. So we'll be doing that. It starts at 12 to 3.
Right,
the meal serving is going to be for 1 hour from 12 to 1. So get in that hour, man, get that food. And I know that it's going to be, you know, really, really good, and people are going to really, really show up for this. And with that Pacho High School basketball team, they're winning. They won again last night, to my understanding. And with their team there, you know, them champions, they're playing very well, Bob. So it's a chance. Everybody's at this time wants to give, man. And the basketball coach said, man, we get our players down there, let them check people, you know, some dish out the food, some clean up, some do something. He said the team is willing to help and go do this public service duty. So I'm happy, Bob. I'm happy that the young guys like that are willing to step up to the plate to do this community event. So that's terrific. And Bob,
there's going to be entertainment too, right? You're having there's going to be some performers. I know we're going to have some
Bob, they're going to be clapping their hands and stomping their feet and moving to the Fajah and Ali beat, baby. They're going to be doing their thing, Bob. You know how you used to do, Bob, up there at the radio station on Phoenix 1450, man. You used to bring them bands in and let them jam a little bit, you know. All over the air and things, and that's what we're going to do, man. We're going to be on the air with our show as we do the presentation. It's going to be streamed and everything, and you know, the whole thing's like 1450 used to do up there on top of the mountain, you know, let the band play and stuff like that on live on air, man. That, you know, that's throwback stuff, Bob.
That's true. We used to rock that old building up there, man. Bring the life into it. Shake the walls.
And that's what brings off. People together, man. You know,
oh, yeah.
You've got people you haven't seen in a long time. They show, hey, man, where the heck you been? Oh, man, look at you. Oh, you're getting a little weight. Oh, man, dude. You're getting you know, just so old stuff like that. It's going to be good. And we want to thank the WBC and the WBC Cares with Mauricio Suleiman and Jill Diamond for supporting us with this effort and things like that. It's a great thing that they're supporting, and it is to help the community not only meet a certain need with food, but bring people together, man. And that's what you
right.
Walk like a champ, you talk like a champ, you carry yourself like a champ, and you'll be the champ. And we have a champion community. And we're going to demonstrate that on the 27th, Bob. But, hey, Bob, what's happening around the world? You got some numbers that came in for different shows? The ratings,
yes, I do.
Stuff like that?
Yeah. Well, we could go around the world first if you want to come back to that, or if you want to, should we do that?
Man, I think, man, you should go on and take it around the world, Bob. I don't know if you're going to
then we'll come back with the numbers.
Or put your slate on the carpet. You know, I don't care what you're going to do to dip down and dip out. Because Santa's way past, you know. Come on, man.
Yeah.
I want something to take us for the ride. If it ain't,
I got it. We're ready. We're fired up. We don't have to go too far. We don't have to go too far to start out. We're just going down the road right now to 2300 Arena, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, USA. It's going to be on USA Fight TV. That's FITE TV. And it's headlined by Mark Dawson, 7-0-1 versus Derek Whitley Jr., 6-1-1 welterweight class. And the co-headliner features a welterweight battle between the 10-0 with 6 knockouts, Donald Smith, and the undefeated 11-0 with 8 KOs, William Foster III. Going on now to Western Pennsylvania, the Washington County Fairgrounds out of Washington, PA. Matt Conway, 17-2 versus Vincent Jennings, super featherweight contest, closing the show out there. Davenport, Iowa will host the middleweight showdown between the 7-0 Crew Stewart and Jarvis Williams, who comes in with a record of 8-3-1. And we do have a world title fight tonight taking place in Hermosillo, Sonora, Mexico. It's on Azteca TV, where Yamileth Mercado, she's 16-2, defends her WBC World Female Super Bantamweight crown against the 11-1-2 challenger, Yulisa Alejandra Guzman. And the undercard is topped by the fight for the open WBA Fedecentro welterweight strap between Rurik Mamadov, 12-1, and Jose Luis Espinosa Jaramillo, who's 13-2. Austin Trout, 32-5-1, 18 knockouts versus Juan Armando Garcia, 21-7-2, 12 KOs, welterweight showdown ends the night in Chihuahua, which also features the battle for the American Boxing Federation American West Cruiserweight title between Alexis Eduardo Almos, 6-3, and the 9-0 Craig Parker, as well as the Rene Palacios, undefeated at 8-0 versus Emmanuel Villamar, 10-8. That's the matchup for the vacant ABF American West Super Bantamweight belt. Michoacan de Ocampo highlights the middleweight attraction of Carlos Molina, 36-11-2, versus Edgar Ortega, who is 18-11. Matamores and Tamaulipas tops their card with the super middleweight. Celine Martinez-Gonzalez and Eric Mireles trading punches. And out in Tijuana, the co-main events are Mark DeLuca, 26-2, 14 KOs versus Michi Munoz, 28-12-1, 19 KOs, super welterweight showdown. And Luis Aniel Viedas, 26-10-1 versus Miguel Aniel Gonzalez, 23-17-1, lightweight battle. Two big venues in Argentina. First, on Argentine Direct TV, from Villa Carlos Paz in Cordoba, it's Matias Carlos Adrian Rueda, 34-1, 30 knockouts, and Claudio Fernando Echegaray, who's 22-4-2 with 11 KOs, both vying for the vacant WBO Latino super featherweight belt. Nice Sports TV will be in Perez, Santa Fe, where Kevin Luis Munoz, 10-0, and Carlos Jorge Luis Sardinia, 16-3, duke it out for the South American Super Flyweight title. Rivera Moneo, 6-1, and Estefania Karen Aranis, 5-4-1, both seek the open WBA Federal Latin Female Lightweight Crown. Santa Cruz de la Sierra in Bolivia. In action tonight, Rodrigo Felipe Carvalho and Ruben Vargas Diaz meet up. And in the Cruiserweight finale, that is there, and we go down to Europe. It's still pretty quiet over there, but action still happening in France, in Vendôme, where Marie Conant slugs it out with Melanie Mercier for the vacant France female light flyweight strap. And in Gaillard, the Mike Dimonch versus Steven Bunesel middleweight bout ends the night there. Wiesbaden in Germany closes the curtain after the Huitzian Akdemir versus Arwed Daub heavyweight contest. And over in Yaoundé, Cameroon, down in the African coast, has a big card featuring mostly debuting fighters, including the topper, which is a six-round heavyweight fight between Maxime Yongnong Nieu and Baudin Comfort Duembe. And there we go, seven countries. That's kind of took a little step back from the last couple of weeks. Again, we do have winter in the northern hemisphere, and we still have some good action, including a good heavyweight, title fight there, the super bantamweight WBC crown there for the females, ending with that Yamilet Mercado defending her title for the fourth time. So some action going on, some TV viewing and everything else. So there we go. It's a good run through the countries, and you know, we got back in time. We're all safe. So, I didn't get bogged down. Get too much snow on there. Keep it a low profile.
Boy, oh boy. Look, Bob, there's so much talk going on about the different matchups that are unfolding during this pandemic time, you know, with Anthony Joshua and Tyson Fury. It looks like that fight is going to happen, and it's a good thing that it's going to happen because boxing needs it to happen in that heavyweight division. It's going to answer a lot of questions. Who's the top dog in the heavyweight division? You know, and to define the division with one standing champion, whether it be Tyson Fury or Anthony Joshua. And it's taken in England where basically boxing, as we know it in this era, begun in England with the Margus and Queensberry rules and all of that. And to see a great matchup like that in the heavyweight division be in England, it goes back way back in time with the beginning of boxing, to have the heavyweight championship in England and to have two Englanders matching up at this time to become an undisputed heavyweight champion of the world. I think it's so needed, Bob, and I think that this fight and this bill that with Tyson Fury and Anthony Joshua, you know, there's so much smack talk going. There's so much videos about it going on. I really can't wait to this. This is what boxing's all about. Two young men at the top of their game, climbing the ring and just say who's the best of the best of the best, and answer and settle the matter inside the ring. There won't be no speculations. You know, I just hope by the time it happens in the summer in England, the pandemic is on a curve. It's on a downslide where they can jam pack that arena up. I think people are going to be fighting to get inside the arena and fighting on the outside of the arena because of the matchup and the two characters. And you know, Tyson Fury is a character already in itself. He's going to come up with something. He's going to do something. Something always crazy happens in this fight. But, you know, Anthony Joshua can talk smack too. You know, he's a real polished professional, and he carries himself like a professional, as well as Tyson Fury. But Tyson Fury has more antics, where he tries to
Emek Muhammad Ali, he gets in the guy's head. You know, he talks them out of their game plan and this and that. And Anthony Joshua is a more corporate business type of guy. Say, I'm here to do my job. I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. He keeps it all in a business perspective. But, you know, Tyson Fury just goes way, way, way off the thing, man. His suits that he wears. He had a suit, Bob, that had all the heavyweight champions on the suit jacket.
Remember that?
Yeah,
he's a big guy. There are a lot of faces on that suit. He's a big guy. But, you know, they also argue about who's going to get the top billing and all that. Oh, they love it. What's that?
I said both of these guys are huge, man. They're over 6'5", man. You know, these guys are big, man, to see this kind of matchup with these type of guys inside the ring. Boy, oh, boy. Bob, this is it's going to be special, man. It really, really is. And hats off to Bob Arum and Eddie Hearns and Frank Warren for trying to work diligently through this time to make a huge fight like that happen. But it needs to happen, Bob. There's no way around it. I see with no way around it. It needs to happen. But you know, the things with them is so big that Don King got back into the mix. You know, he got back into the mix. He screamed the WBA regular heavyweight champion, and his guy won the belt. So that means he is in the heavyweight picture, and he is something to worry about. So, you know. With that said and done, you know, after they fight, you best believe the guy that he has, he's going to be bearing down on whoever wins or loses and those guys that are still out there.
Right. And we have, again, the word coming down. It's almost finalized for Usyk, who's probably going to be stepping aside there. He is the then the one challenger there for the IBF, I believe, or the WBO, I think it is. But anyway, he's going to be fighting Joe Joyce. Yeah, so that looks like that's going to actually happen. So that'll keep him busy, too, because he's going to be chomping at the bit to see who wins that fight, too. As you mentioned, Trevor Bryan, who's WBA title is now, too. So, those guys are all going to be sitting there watching this fight, too, see who's going out from there. And we'll take it from there. Hopefully we see this, as you said, early in the spring or early summer. I mean, late spring, early summer.
Yeah, and why, you know, with Trevor Bryant winning that WBA title, you know, he's right in the hunt. So those guys, you know, like a Joe Joyce or a Hunter or Lovejoy who pulled out, who was originally supposed to fight on that card, all of them guys are all of them contenders that we used to say when you champion the pretenders, you know, they get a chance to fight at the regular heavyweight title fight. And, you know, it's good to see that there's activity in that heavyweight division even during this time because, you know, in the heavyweight, there's big dollars and big cents, and each time they climb in the ring, the demand for the dollars and cents is made possible. But, you know, all the things they said about Don King is that he was an old man. He was not able to deliver. He couldn't deliver the punch no more to put on a big fight. With this new thing called streaming, he wouldn't be able to stream. He wouldn't be able to do this. This fight fell out. That fight fell out. And he did so many things he had to dig in his repertoire, Bob. You know, when you've been doing something for a long time on that high level, problems have went wrong before, and he was able to always put it back together to deliver in his own style. When they say that he can't, he says always that, yes, I can. And he shows by an example of the type of hardworking businessman that he is and a promoter that he is. When everybody counts you out, he said, count me in. and him with the WBA and the Florida Boxing Commission. They had to work together diligently with names of fighters, travel, you know, all of that. This one's out, this one's in, this one, you know, it makes for something crazy happening. And then the fighters themselves, well, you're going to fight this or you ain't, and you become on a roller coaster. But they were able to deliver the goods. And with Trevor Bryant knocking him out in the 11th round, Stiverne, who's a solid heavyweight, you know, to knock him out late in the fight after all that, it shows you, like I all the time say, Bob, you never know how good an undefeated fighter is until he fights somebody that everybody knows that can fight. And he did deliver the goods. So we're just going to have to see which angle Don King's going to use for his next guy, and is he going to continue to stream? That's going to be the question. Because, man, let me tell you, Frankie Randall is someone that I trained. For him to go back and dedicate that tribute to Frankie Randall, who just passed, you know, and did it back in his archives and show that fight, man. It was that fight, when you look at it, sometimes I really, really forget how special that fight was. Them two guys fought. Even, you know, Frankie, who was my guy, came out on top. But that was a dynamite fight, man. Man, was it dynamite. Okay. And to look over, I can sit and enjoy every round because my guy, he was doing his thing. He was on the top of his game that night. And also to see Larry Holmes on their platform, he reached in, dug Larry Holmes out of his archives with when he fought Jerry Cooney. And to look back at that fight, man, that was a huge heavyweight fight, man. The whole country, the whole world was on the edge of their seats with that fight because so much went into that. Larry Holmes came out, and him and Jerry Cooney fought their tail off that night. You know, Larry came out the victor. And these two guys remain friends to today. And now, isn't that
true? They weren't really friends going into that fight either. They weren't really friends. They were, you know, they were kind of at each other's throats, but there was kind of animosity there. But once they got in the ring and afterwards, like you said, yeah, they became great friends, which is a good thing, too. It's nice to see that because nobody's holding grudges. It was just, hey, we had to do our job, but, you know, they respect each other, and that's what's key. And, it was a great fight seeing that one, too, come up.
Yeah, well, it shows great sportsmanship, and this is what I hope happens with Anthony Joshua and Tyson Fury. At the end of the day, after they fight and everything's done, that they become friends because, man, you got to respect the dude you climb in there in the ring with and make and have the opportunity to make the kind of money that these two guys are going to make when they fight. You got to love each other because both of you are making that kind of money. And you got to remain friends because, hey, look, like Tyson and Holyfield, look at that. At the end, but now both of them are friends. Now they're trying to put that fight together. And that's something that we have to talk about now. Tyson and Holyfield, it looks like they may fight. It looks like Evander Holyfield has come around to his senses and, you know, that demand for $30 million, I think he came to reality.
Yeah.
Because at this stage of the ball game, hey, when you're talking the millions and millions of dollars, you ain't checking yourself short. You just be thankful at this stage of the game when you're a senior statesman that you're able to make that kind of money, Bob.
Be good in the ring and fight again. Oh, the fight that people want to see, the classic, trilogy ending fight with Tyson and Holyfield. So I don't know when that's actually going to happen, but like you're saying, it looks like Holyfield really wants to do it this time. So he's going to price himself, I think, at the right spot, try to get it done. And that'll be a lot of fun to see that, too. And again, it's just another one of these things, these names that keep coming back. You know, we got Mayweather also his name popping up again, and we just got news this week that the Logan Paul fight is postponed. That was going to be coming up in a couple of weeks on the 20th, but they haven't put a new date there yet. And, you know, Mayweather's out there trying to – he's talking about fighting everybody, but one name we're not hearing anymore is McGregor after his loss the other week. So, you know, we got Ryan Garcia in there trying to fight, and, of course, Tank Davis. You know, these guys are all looking to see who's going to fight who, you know, and there we go. We'll see what happens with Mayweather. He wants to fight everybody this year. Yeah, we'll just have to wait and see, but it'll be fun to see Floyd get in on the act, too, because he wants to do some exhibitions. He's talking about going over to Japan again and doing something there. He's traveling the world, you know. He has an academy in Russia, and he's just being the money man. You know, he's going to find the right deal. Again, that's going to put him in the ring.
Yeah, you know, he's going overseas looking who people may not know, and that's a hit in their country, to look at them and see if they want to fight and see if that he can make the millions of dollars out of the country instead of in the country. So, you know, that's why his grand tour is all about that. But, you know, here you have Cello. He's challenging, you know, Canelo Alvarez and Mayweather is because he wants a big name guy that can bring the big name dollars, you know. But
right.
I all the time say you talk it, but you keep walking, you keep fighting, you keep defending your title, and you keep making a name for yourself. And one time or one day, if you keep fighting and winning long enough and keep looking good, your name too would be in the people's mouth as a household name. But it's all about performance and how you fight and how you look when you fight. And once you see that needle keep moving up with them TV ratings, you know, then you become a household name. But you got to keep on fighting and keep on winning. You got to keep winning looking good, Bob. But come on, give us some of them ratings, Bob, that we want to see how good the guys are looking when the fights that just happened. You got that information. So come on, Bob, deliver the goods, man. Let's see.
Okay, right. We'll go back a month here and start with the Errol Spence versus Danny Garcia fight. We got a live gate total this week came out. There were 14,508 tickets sold for that event. That was about half of the capacity of the arena, as we spoke of. But it generated $2,615,000. So that wasn't a bad gate there, too. But as far as other kind of numbers, last week, the Caleb Plant, Caleb Truax fight, man, that was came out pretty good for Fox. It was their highest ratings in 13 months. Came in over 2 million with a peak. 2,019,000 was a peak. Average was 1.887 million. And that actually just puts it basically kind of right behind Lomachenko and Lopez from last year, and also the Crawford Brook fight that came in at 2,078,000, and of course that Lomachenko Lopez was 2.9 million on the peak. So you know, Fox actually got themselves a good fight, and they promoted it right, and we got over 2 million people peaking, and that was towards the end of the fight too. So that just shows you that people were interested and were tuning in throughout the course of the night too. But not bad numbers. We still don't have any of those pay-per-views. We haven't gotten any of those numbers. They're really not throwing them out there like they used to. But we did want to pass along that information about the gate, because it's been a long time since we have 14,500 people in an arena to watch a fight.
Yeah, well, you know, with a gate like that, you know, during this time, you ain't going to see too many people in the gates because of the pandemic and the state rules of crowds and stuff like that. So that slows a lot of it down, Bob, the numbers. And also these streaming platforms, you really can't gear what they did. And some monitor or something, Nielsen ratings or something, has to come up with some kind of meter to put on things like that they're doing, whether it be television or across the website, so the right numbers come out. So It helps marketers, advertisers, people to look, put dollars into the game. Something to judge by. You know what I mean, Bob? With that, without the numbers, you can't. It's hard to judge. It's hard for different people, especially small time promoters, to if you don't have real numbers, it's hard to get promotional money and through advertisers and stuff like that. That's why we need those kind type of things, Bob. But our boxing is definitely on the move, Bob. During this pandemic. It sparked back up. We were on the air, Bob. We were talking about different matchups and times like that, but we could see the spark, the move that happened once the MGM Grand and Bob Arum and them start doing shows there inside the bubble. We seen how once people and promoters got wind of how to do it and do it safely during this pandemic, you know, they went and start gathering the troops up, gathering fighters up, and start promoting them in different countries and different states where they would let them conduct business at. And we can see how it's taken back off fights, Bob.
Right, and also we want to mention, we were talking earlier when I was zipping around the world there about Europe being a little slow, but we're looking forward to next week. Over in England, Josh Warrington is going to be kicking off a new round of fights there, in trying to get the game back up and running or whatever. They've been shut down. They had those variants of the coronavirus popping up all over the place, so they've been struggling. But we'll be talking more about that next week as we give you the lowdown on the whole card. But just a little note that England's looking to come back up next week too. So hopefully will go successfully, and we'll see more of Europe coming along, and even in the Far East and some of these other places that have been relatively quiet because of the coronavirus. And as things, hopefully, like you were saying, the curve starts going back down the other way, we'll see some more venues opening up around the world too. But looking forward to next week there too. Also, one other thing, we do have an announcement. The International Boxing Hall of Fame, though, and they said, well, you know, they're not ready to go ahead with any ceremony this year. They've postponed their 2021 induction ceremony until next year. So next year in June up in Canastota, New York, they're going to have three classes being inducted. And that is an event that you should mark your calendar for as soon as it comes out, people, because you're going to have a crowd of people. They're going to have three classes. You're going to have everybody from Mayweather and Bernard Hopkins and Andre Ward, Leo Ali. You know, it's going to be a big event, man. 3 years worth.
The whole boxing family's going to be there.
It's going to be an event, man.
Yeah, the whole boxing family is going to be there. But, yeah, Bob, and we want to say this, too, while I have it on my mind. George Hill, who was down in AC with us, he passed. And, man, when that someone called and gave me that news, and then Henry Haskop, who sends out, you know, notices and stuff like that, and I'm glad to see Henry. He's back at it, and George passed, and wow, what a gentleman, what a scholar. He's going to be well missed in the boxing game, man, and my prayers and blessings from all of us go out to his family. You know, he's going to be well missed. But, Bob, let me tell you, Henry sent that out, and also I talked to Henry, who's our boxing historian here, does stuff. Man, let me tell you, Henry ain't giving up. He's warming up, man. He's like we were saying. He's gonna be back. He's been working on something, and what he's been working on, he's gonna let us know. And it's something good and great. You know, he told me a little bit about it, and I hope it comes to fruition what he told me about, and that's what he's been. He's working on something. He's warming up, Bob, and he ain't giving up. And he picked himself off that deck, and he's fighting his rear end off, Bob, and when he comes back on this show, man, we're going to celebrate. You know,
yeah.
That, you know, yeah, man, come on. And what a guy Henry is. He does so much to help so many people. And, you know, with things that happened to him. But I'm glad to see him. He sounds better. He sounds nice and strong, you know, in his voice, in his spirit. You can tell in his heart that God's healing him. And it's a good thing, and I'm glad to see that. It couldn't happen to a better man for the Lord to heal him.
You got me intrigued now as far as what he's working. I'm looking forward to it. Whenever we get
yeah. You know, I said, wow. I said, Henry, you do very well in that. I do know that. So he's warming up, Bob, and he's not giving up. He's not giving up. And talking not giving up, you know, we got Adrian Bronner out talking stuff, man. You know, Adrian Bronner said, well, Mayweather, he wants it. And Bob, guess how much money Adrian Bronner said he wants?
I wonder. I don't know.
He said he wants $30 to $50 million to fight. I said he has to be kidding. But, you know, ain't no harm in trying. But he had $30 to $50 million back when Jay-Z offered him, and he turned it down. Now,
right.
Now he's like Dante Wilder, you know.
Right.
These guys $30-40 million. They turn it down, and then fighting for a few million. When you had 30 and 40, when they get rid of the 30 or 40 million, I guess the judge had him come back to his senses. I hope that he's come around, you know, because, you know, here's a young man, good amateur career, man, was no trouble whatsoever. And he took this thing, a problem child, on, and next thing you know, he get a pocket full of money, and then he really becomes the problem.
He's trying to do a certain persona that, you know, trying to be the gangster or whatever you want to call it, you know, and sometimes that doesn't work. It's that he gets on TV and he just spout out the expletives and whatnot, and, you know, to be a real true professional, you got to clean up your act a little bit. We've said that before, you know, and I think that the same goes today. You know, you just got to, I mean, everybody doesn't care, you know, if you have that persona, you want to act like the ghetto kid and the street guy, you know, the dog and all this kind of stuff, that's fine for a persona, but, man, you know, when it comes down to talking, you know, because you got to remember kids and all that kind of stuff. And you want an example. You know, Charles Barkley famously said he wasn't a role model. You know, but you kind of are, no matter where you are. You're on TV. You're doing a sport like that. People get to see you. They're going to emulate you, you know, the little kids or something like that. And you certainly don't want your little 10-year-old boy running around swearing up a storm, you know, because he said, because, you know, this guy on TV was talking like that. You know, so.
Yeah, yeah. You live and you learn, you know. Mayweather's 43 years old, and he ain't too far behind that, you know,
right.
Adrian Bronner. So, you know, at some point and at some time, you got to, you know, I think Bronner, he's been, you know, because he was young when he won the title, and Bronner's only like 31 years old, Bob.
Right, yes, he is only early 30s, I believe 31, right?
Yeah, he's right at that curb. You know, he still has the opportunity to still fight and still make some decent money, but he has a chance to redeem himself, clean himself up, become the real champ that everybody thought that he could become, and represent himself and his family in a better light than what he's doing. I think. If he does that, he's going to come back. He'll win some titles, and he'll get his pockets back full again. But he got to change his attitude.
Right, and like you said, maybe the judge might have smacked a little sense into him because, you know, that was just another goofy thing, man. You don't blow off court dates. Come on. Bite the bullet, play some music, whatever you want to say. But, yeah, don't just, like, ignore the fact that you have to be in court today. Guess what? They're coming to get you, especially if you're a big name and you're prominent. Name like that, you're going to be made an example of that. Say, hey, you just can't flout the law like this. You got a couple of this.
And I think that he will. I think that's what he when he was down, you know, in the dumps. You know, he only has four losses and one draw out of 37 fights, 38 fights, because he got 33 wins, four losses, and one draw. So at 31 years old, he still got a future for him, you know. He just got to get back and be hungry and be disciplined, you know, and go in the gym and get in great shape and learn how to fight a better fight and sharpen your tools up. You know, and learn how to handle different styles and stuff like that, and he can be right back up in the hunt because he still has a name, Bob.
Right, and you got to have good people surrounding him too now at this point, because you know you don't want just yes guys saying oh yeah. You got to get somebody that's going to come in there and you know focus him a little bit more too on the job at hand, and that's always an important part. Well, you know for sure, you know that's a big key there, and you know you want to have the right people working with him to keep him on the right path.
Oh yeah, absolutely, and I think he would do that. And
yeah.
And Bob, I'm hearing through the grapevine that Gervonta Davis, he suffered some type of injury, a sparring, so it doesn't look like you know it's unclear when. It don't look like if he's going to do it. Someone told me that he was injured. I don't know how true that is, but someone told me he got injured sparring.
I didn't hear that, but I did hear about Caleb Plant apparently hurt his hand, too, in that Truax fight. I don't think it's anything major, but something that he'll be taken care of before he fights again, too. So just speaking of injuries, we did hear that this week. But there's not going to be any surgery at first. They thought they might have to go in there and repair some things, but it looks like it's just a badly bruised hand.
Yeah, well, you know, hand injuries, Bob, is a lot of times not having your hands properly wrapped and also the way that you deliver a punch. You know, if you deliver the punch wrong or you bent your wrists or have your wrists straight, you know, it can cause injuries to your metacarpals and stuff. You can't handle that shock, that recoil, the punch going up through your knuckles and your arm and your hand, and all the pressure of that recoil from the punch stays down at the wrist because a lot of times they bend, that's where it stays. Or a guy may hit him on the weaker part of your hand, which is your last two knuckles instead of your first two knuckles. And guys hit a guy on the weaker part of the hand the wrong way. They might have bent their wrist a little bit when they did it. And bang, next thing you know, or the guy with their hand like a smack. They didn't turn the shot over with their knuckles and they injured themselves that way. So, you know, boxing's absolute science, Bob. You got to apply the science. If you wrap the hands right and things like that, throw the punch right, it limits your chance for injuries in training. You know, that's the hardest part of fighting is training.
Yeah, indeed. Indeed, definitely. Getting that, as you know, too, like I said, right, wrapping the hand right, and just it can happen in a fight, like you said, just getting hit wrong.
Yeah.
You can get hurt.
Yeah.
It looks like the plant looks like he's going to be okay. I just wanted to pass that along. Man. He did come out with a little bit of an injury, but Truax put up a good fight. But you know, Plant too proved himself to be he's a great champion that we have going, and that was his third title defense. Looked good, and you know he's looking to see who else he can fight next too. So Caleb Plant's definitely still in the mix.
Yeah, absolutely. You know. And also, Mark Brill has come out with his situation with him and Dante Wilder. You know, he was talking it up on a podcast, radio show about his relationship with Dante Wilder. It's good that he's out talking about it. You know, it's best that, you know, at some point in some time, Dante Wilder is going to have to take responsibility for himself and admit that, hey, look, winning and losing, you win and you lose together. And it ain't just about winning by myself. We win together, we lose together, and speak truly what happened. And move on and learn what you did wrong in the fight, learn how to correct it, and you move on. The blame game never goes, you know. You just have to take responsibility of it, you know.
Right.
He knows. Yeah, he knows. He really knows what happened.
Yeah, I mean, they don't tell you Wilder's name. I mean, we talk week to week, all their heavyweights. And we really are not talking about him because he's not doing anything. So he needs to get up and, like you said, get up and start fighting and get in there again, do something, because his name is fading away. It's what we're getting at.
Yeah, you got to stay in the hunt to the thick of things. Yeah. But, you know, maybe those fights that he's already had and the type of money that he has, he's comfortable, you know. He ain't hungry no more.
Right.
I mean, and that's what happens to a guy once he loses a major fight like that. He don't become hungry, instead of say, or maybe he was seriously injured and we don't know about it.
Right. Right. You know, but mostly, I can't see you not wanting to get your belt back. You know what I mean? Too. It's like,
yeah.
I think you'd be wanting to chomp at the bit to say, "I want my belt back."
Yeah.
If Fury takes fell apart, he had a chance to fight Fury again, and they couldn't get it done. And now, you know, Fury said, "Forget it, I'm going on to Joshua," and that's the fight we're all waiting to see. And again, there's Wilder left out in the cold. Pretty much everybody's linking up with, you know, the other heavyweights that we've been talking about. And again, Wilder's name does not appear anywhere, you know, in upcoming fights.
Well, Bob, most of the time that happens is because a fighter was injured and he don't want nobody to know that he was injured. So he makes every excuse in the world where he don't climb back in that ring because he was injured. So I don't know. I haven't seen them on the social media platforms or anything like that.
Right.
Ain't too many writers been writing about him. You know what I mean? I ain't seen him on no TV, so that means he's lost his popularity.
Right.
Yeah, so there's something going on that ain't right. What guy, a young man like him, and, you know, he's remember we had talked about this, Bob, about when he was waiting for this fight and that fight. And, you know, 34, 35 years old, you know, Tyson, them guys are training now in their 50s and all that, trying to fight. But when you get guys, Bob, once a heavyweight, basically, when you start hitting that mid-30, going, you know, towards 40, you know, they're over that other side of the hill where they say, you better count your pennies and keep putting them in your pocket, because your days of the big dollar bills are shortening on that way, you know. And he has to look at those things. You know, he's old. He's been fighting for a long time, you know, as an amateur and stuff like that. Training and all that hard training, Bob, puts a toll on your body. You know, because you're always pushing your body dream of excellence, and you're always doing things in an all-out effort that causes the whole body to be stressed. So, you know, athletes sometimes got to rest up, heal up, and try to come back at it. Once they heal up, the body starts feeling better or whatever. I don't know if that's the case with him, but there's something wrong, why he's not, you know, he's turning down those fights. He got to be injured or something.
Right. You figure there has to be something going on, or just announce your retirement. You know, one or the other. It's like something's going on, and he hasn't, again, he hasn't quit yet, you know, as far as retirement, but he has to get his name out there just, you know, for some reason, fight somebody. Because, you know, like I said, everything's passing them by. New names are popping up every week. We talk about the Frank Sanchez's and the Joe Joyce's and some of these other guys that are coming up that are hungry. And they're going to be the ones that, you know, are gathering the steam right now as far as people. And you say social media, too. He's quiet on social media. You know, you think he would at least just say hi to his fans, maybe. You know,
yeah,
man.
Yeah.
You know, I'm still here. You know, I'm coming out. I'm doing this. I'm doing that right now. But, you know, I'll be back. But he's not saying anything.
No, he's not. But let me tell you, you know, you're talking about at that age, 40, 43 years old, Manny Pacquiao. You know, Manny, I like Manny's spirit. He says, give me the young guns. He, Garcia, he said, this young gun, I'll take him on. Or Lopez. He says, bring him on. I'll fight him. You got to love Manny Pacquiao. He, you know, if he got it in his heart that he wants to fight, he's going to fight. He don't care if you're young, old, in between. If he wants to fight you, he's going to fight you. And that's hats off to Manny Pacquiao to step up to a challenge stage of the game. And, you know, the WBA, you know, got him in, what was it, they took his title and put it in, what'd you call it, on the shelf or something like that, Bob?
Yeah, I forget exactly what the words I used, but yeah, they put him up on, give him a title like, thanks a lot, you know, here's your title, we'll wait for you to come around next time, you know,
yeah,
see what happens.
Yeah, but
he does want to fight anybody. We want to see Pacquiao fight again, you know, it'll be great. But, you know, he's one of the great, great all-time champions, and if he wants to take on Ryan Garcia, let's do it, you know. Let's see who he wants to fight, or Davis, or anybody. Like you said, Lopez, David, a lot of people in that weight class, you know, that would be hungry to get in the ring with a Manny Pacquiao. You know, Canelo Alvarez out there, you know, we still know what's going on. As far as, you know, Billy Joe Saunders, he wants to stay up at that super middleweight and looking forward to a fight there coming down the road. But the Triple G thing still always out there, too. But, you know, so we're looking at, I guess, a couple weeks from now when Canelo will fight Ilgram, and that will be a good test as far as what's going on there, too. But, again, yeah, Manny Pacquiao just says, let's go. We want to see him go. Let's go. Let's bring somebody in. And we're going to put Manny Pacquiao against one of these young guns, like you say.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, let Manny Pacquiao get in there and let's test some of these young bucks. That's what I say. Put them in there, man. Go for it, Manny. Go for it, baby. You know, see if those young guys are really as good as that they say they are. Because let me tell you, when you fight Manny Pacquiao, you're gonna have to know how to fight, and you got to be in good condition because he's gonna bring it. And
right.
If a young guy ain't ready for that type of star, man, you'll catch the blues. He'll knock you out. You said, man, I thought you said he was over the hill, not the way he was hitting me.
Right.
But it's all good, Bob. Well, we got 90 seconds, I do believe, Bob. So in
right.
closing, with this month of February, with Black History Month, a reminder of the event, February 27th in Pottsville, Pennsylvania, at the Majetic Theater from 12 to 3, and then the Fighters Haven or Heaven in Deer Lake, Pennsylvania, old Muhammad Ali's training camp from 5 to 8. You know, be there. It's going to be a lot of fun for people. And, man, Black History Month is something kind of special with us with the Jack Johnson exhibit. And here at the World Boxing Review Radio Show, Bob, it's always a pleasure, Bob, during this month. You take the time to research a lot of stuff, as well as Henry. about different fighters and history, and that's a plus. And my hat's off to both of y'all for the job that you always do during Black History. And well, Bob, the magic carpet ride around the world, man. You know, you didn't hit no snow today, but Snow Well is talking to you, Bob, and we want to thank you and everybody for tuning in to the World Boxing Review Radio Show, man. And tune in from every Saturday from 11 to 12. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. See you later.
All right.
Okay.